At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
To the highway, in a brand new day.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for September 17th, 2024. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast feed or our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed on all podcast catchers or applications. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. If you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in your show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box that says sponsor this podcast, and you can set up a one-time or recurring donation, no obligation whatsoever. But we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I am your host for this week. It's your old pal, Mike Spears. Case Lowe is on assignment. He'll be back with us next week. And this week, we're going to be talking about the 2024 Gate of Origin show from Sendai Sun Festa. And we'll talk a little bit about how this show has evolved over the last 6 years. This was the seventh edition of Dragon Gate's big Northeast wrestling show. And I feel like we're kind of at this interesting point now that with it being a solo show this week, we'll review top to bottom the entire show that they had on Monday and Sunday. As well, we have a full card for the Edeon number 2 show this weekend. It's a interesting month for Dragon Gate with how everything was kind of laid out. You had your big Cork One Hall show with all of the angles and the Ishin versus Yamato title match, and then you have what for Dragon Gate, and we might have some new listeners this week, so just to kind of further explain this, Dragon Gate has had this interesting new show. This is the Gate of Origin has been their newest large show. Actually, it's not that case anymore. Gate of Bayside this year, it's the second newest of Dragon Gate's big shows, or at least as they call them, the big matches. And it's interesting for me because now we are at this point, 6 years in with Gate of Origin, that it has enough time happen that we could see the identity of it. And in doing so, we should probably talk about Dragon Gate's history of these non-Big Five shows, because Gate of Origin has an interesting position, I feel like, on the Dragon Gate hierarchy. So for people who are new to the Dragon system, of course, the number one show of each year is the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival, Dragon Gate's biggest show and the their hometown at Kenan World Hall. That is the tent pole that holds up the remainder of the Big Five, Dead or Alive in Nagoya, Dangerous Gate this year in Yokohama, and past at in Tokyo at Oda City Gymnasium. After Dangerous Gate, you have the Gate of Destiny, their largest show, in Edeon Arena, Osaka. And then they close out the year always in Fukuoka with the Final Gate. And after those, after you have, if you're going to tier this, Kobe World as S, and then the other four of the Big Five as your A's, then you get into this realm of show that the Gate of Origin is trying to kind of not necessarily make itself its own, but you have the B-tier named Dragon Gate shows. That's where we had this year the start of the Gate of Nostalgia that cut into the traditional Champion Gate week. And I always look at Champion Gate as the premiere of that tier of show, but you also have Memorial Gate and Wakayama. Gate of Bayside, it's way too early to decide where it kind of is. And then you have Gate of Origin, which originally was announced in 2018 as Dragon Gate's big show in the Tohoku region. It was the start of a strategy where Dragon Gate was going to go into this part of Japan that you have, of course, Sendai Girls now and Michinoku Pro, but there's a lot of a tradition for this company and for the wrestlers involved with it around the Gate of Origin and around the Tohoku region, and the fact that Yamato, who even in 2018, I'm looking at the poster for the first ever Gate of Origin show from 2018, who's front and center. It's Yamato from nearby Iwate Prefecture. So this was a show that has always been a Yamato kind of feature show, and that's not uncommon for newer listeners. You look at Dead or Alive, and Dragon Kid is always in a prominent match at Dead or Alive. And the various Osaka-based Dragon Gate wrestlers, Masato Yoshino at one point, but even your big boss Shimizu's, and really, I mean, we can go all the way down to Ryoya Tanaka. They have a certain level of importance at Gate of Destiny. But for Gate of Origin and for the Tohoku region, you had Yamato. And it started off with a very strong show from them. And they were in the Sun Plaza Hall. That is a building that Dragon Gate has not returned to since 2022. It essentially is the big building as a part of this. There's the Sun Festa, which is another part of it within the greater complex. But for Dragon Gate, they were looking at this hall show as a way for them to plant their flag. And you had all four title matches on the first Gate of Origin show. Main evented Masato Yoshino defeating Takashi Yoshida. However, the first match in Gate of Origin history, Willie Mack, Shun Skywalker, and Hio Watanabe defeat Gamma Brother Yashi and Mondai Ryu. You also had the current Michiko, then Cassandra Miyagi, and Mako Satomura making appearances on this show, of course. Sendai, home of Sendai Girls. They got a significant bit of Sendai Girls help throughout the first few years of the promotion, to the extent the next year you had Mako Dash-Jisako and Chihiro Hashimoto making their appearance along with Nene Takahashi. So they've always been very focused on it. You got to have a special commemorative match in 2019 as well. Tri Vanguard, Yamato, BB Hulk, Kagator, and Kai facing off against the Lucha Wrest Legends, Ultimo Dragon, Dragon Kid, The Great Sasuke, and Jensei Sensaki. Of course, we're still in the Tohoku region, Northeast Japan. Michinoku Pro stands for Northeast in Japanese. Other fun stuff on that card. Martin Kirby was in the Dragon Royal, which there were sure a lot of Dragon Royals back then. And really, from that point, we start to see the Gata origin not necessarily end up being the tentpole show that they thought it was going to be. There was never as strong show at the Gate of Origin as strong as the first one with four title matches. The next year, you have a special singles match, Shun Skywalker versus Dragon Kid, or Shun Skywalker recently returning, becoming the Open the Dream Gate champion. Your main event, Yamato and KZ versus BB Hulk and Kai for the Twin Gate, a title feud that just never ended. And SB Kento in the semi-main event there as well. But you already see a huge step back in 2020. Of course, that was COVID. That's when they moved. They moved from like 1,500 announced, and at a time where Dragon Gate was doing 100% legit attendance, already down to 666 after the Gate of Origin 2020. And then Gate of Origin 2021, touching on it briefly, this is a historical show that we'll get back to it as we continue, because you had the debut of Takuma Fujiwara versus Kaga Tora as match two, a match that was not necessarily like blowing everyone's mind, but you had Takuma Fujiwara from the region along with Kaga Tora, someone who worked in Michinoku Pro very heavily during his years away from Dragon Gate. And of course, Takuma Fujiwara, lest we forget, Takuma Fujiwara went to middle school career day at Michinoku Pro's gym. But you had a Dream Gate match, a Twin Gate match on the show. This was, of course, the Naruki Doi, Takashi Yoshida tag team that got their Twin Gates there. You had a Ryu Fuda debut. We'll talk about Ryu Fuda and his participation on this year's show. But by this point in 2021, the slide started to happen. You had multiple title matches on this show, but you never would have another Dream Gate match. In 2022, you have a Twin Gate and then a Captain's Fall three-way match that I remember wanting to like a lot more than I ended up doing. 2023, you had KZ versus Ishin for the Brave Gate, the Yoshiki Kato series versus Big Boss Shimizu, and Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Punch Tomonaga. Yeah, the bizarre Triangle Gate team, like Punch Tomonaga, actually really, really mattering, winning those belts earlier that week and then going up to Sendai and immediately defending it against Z-Brats. But by last year, they moved completely out of the Sun Hall. They were in the weird loading area last year, which for me really took me out of the show. This year, not necessarily the case. But going through these shows, a couple things are pretty clear to me about what Gate of Origin is and what it should be viewed as going forward. This will not be the show that makes it a big six. If there's going to be a show that transcends that tier up into being one of the tentpole shows on the Dragon Gate schedule, it'll be Gate of Bayside. That new building, they've already used it as a replacement this year for Dangerous Gate. Yeah, they need to turn the lights off. Yeah, they need to figure out how to shoot that show, that building, a lot better. But that show has a much more of a likely possibility to be a top show. Whereas I feel like Gate of Origin is now healthily as about Memorial Gate tier. Nothing as consequential as, of course, the Eita versus Naruki Doi title change at Memorial Gate, but that was a circumstance of COVID. But I feel like that these two shows kind of inhabit the same position. They're in areas of Japan that Dragon Gate likes to focus on, Wakayama being far western part of Japan, and then you have Tohoku being in the northeast, and there's relationships with those. Of course, Memorial Gate back in the day was a sold show. This one was not a sold show, but always has had a strong northeastern Japan, Tohoku region kind of flavor to it. But that was kind of a little bit of an exercise figuring out what the show is and where Gate of Origin is at this point. And 2024 really solidified it as this kind of B-tier show that I look at the Gate of Origin at the very least. And I walked away from it pretty satisfied. I feel like it was much better than last year's show, but I feel like last year's show was also cursed with where it was. This time in the Sunfesta building, it does feel like that they found a better place for it. I liked the Sun Hall. It's a shame that they're not able to really fill that to a level to justify it right now. I mean, we've seen this show go from being essentially what would be considered a full sellout in Corcoran Hall nowadays to now being about what they usually do in Kobe, honestly. But I think you look at a show like this, and especially with a main event that they had, the Brave Gate match, Dragon Dai and Jackie Kamei, and there's stuff to build from here. I don't feel like that this show has to be the kind of crammed in B-level show that it is right now, especially on this schedule right now, kind of filling in for a position. This is really where they would have Dangerous Gate most years. This weekend is kind of Dangerous Gate week, and things got changed around with Odyssey Gymnasium being under reconstruction, or the reconstructing it, the remodeling it. But overall, I was pretty happy with this show. I do think that we had to start off talking about that main event. Dragon Dia versus Jackie Kamei. Dia retains the belt with the DDDDT. This is his second successful defense. I really thought that this was an interesting match and worked in a way that, for me, and the way that Dia's title matches, and we're at a point now where Dragon Dia has had a lot of Brave Gate matches. We kind of have his vibe. We don't have nearly as many Jackie Kamei Brave Gate matches. There is a good number of them, especially when you consider the SB Kento feud. But this one more so felt like what a Kamei match could be, especially the idea of what Kamei in singles matches against people who are similarly sized. I mean, we know what Kamei versus Diamante looks like. We got to see a lot of forms of that over the years, as well as Kamei. I mean, I think he had a Johnny Valletta match. I'm not looking that up right now. But what we saw in a really fun match, I was just at 4 stars on it. A kind of amateur opening, or a little bit more of a Yave bent opening, maybe seeing a bit of the difference between Takedo Kamei, what Dragon Dia was asking for, versus Jackie Funky Kamei. None of the pow pow pows, none of the kind of just faint moves. This was just straight up grappling for the first 4 or 5 minutes, which led to a certain point where Kamei was asserting his control. They go towards the outside. There's a really fun tendency that Dia has that I don't think very many wrestlers do at a level of him, of using their arms as like a platform into doing a Tijeras or a DDT. And that let him do a quick tope to the floor. I don't think it was a suicida. I don't have that written down. But then from there, we got to see more of a standard Dia style Brave Gate title match running through it. Speed, speed, speed. But they got the point across. I thought it was really interesting. The fact that Kamei, when asked and when was challenged by Dia, showed that he has Dia at least on the mat. And then really, you had a nice sequence of various big attempts. You had a Jackie Knife kind of come out of nowhere that got a deep two count, a double cork kick out, and then a finishing stretch that ended with the DDDDT. Really strong match, and something where I think now we have to consider where rivalries are at. And I say that because, of course, Kamei, the first few years of his career, he was linked to the guy he debuted against. He was linked to Kento Kobune, and that was a very strong portion of their feud. That was going to be the rivalry of the class. That's not the case now, but I still remember the Kobe Sambo Hall promo where after their first Brave Gate match, SB Kento mentioned that they shared a bunk bed, and Kamei was always the bottom bunk and Kobune was on top, and he said that Kamei would always be looking up at him. But that's not the case anymore in 2024. Dragon Daya, you have the whole rivalry with Daya Inferno, Yuki Yoshioka. That was more of a Darkness Dragon, Dragon Kid analog happening. But who are the other rivalries that he has? I mean, he's teamed with Yuki Yoshioka pretty consistently after that rivalry. Where would I put him against? Who would I would say his big rivals are? He doesn't necessarily, like, super have one. I mean, Don Fuji for the skateboard, maybe, but Don Fuji steals everyone's shit. That's just how Don Fuji operates. Maybe there's something with Daya and Kamei. I at least came away from this match thinking, well, we got to see more grappling than we usually see out of these two. The chemistry is there. You got to see the gear changes going from the opening section into Daya realizing, well, I'll lose my title if I keep this up here. I need to go to back to my kind of match and then a good closing stretch. I don't know if with two baby faces in this position, you're able to have one of those keystone feuds and rivalries. But at least at this point, I really like the idea that maybe Kamei and Daya could be the foils that they need. Kamei looking for the rivalry, because you can't. The difficult thing for him is that really after SBK left, Kamei is just so further ahead of everyone else, or it's someone like Madoka Kakuta, his classmate. But I mean, there's such a big difference in Dragon Gate between your Madoka Kakutas and your Jackie Kameis. So maybe that this could be the start of something for these guys. I really enjoyed it. It was my clear match of the night, and really, you had a bunch of real fun stuff, I felt like, throughout this show. You started back then with the other title match we had here, Open the Triangle Gate, Strong Machine J, Shimizu, and UT defending against kind of this new veteran army that we have here. It's Mochi Fuji, so Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, as well as Toru Owashi. Maybe a little bit of sumo, just a lot of cranky old men. Like, this would have been a Zetsurin's trio if Owashi didn't get fired / you can't fire me, I quit in 2004. This feels like that these guys would have been on an absolute tear in 2007 or 2008. And it would be the Natural Vibes Champions team making their fifth defense, a shot put slam on Masaki Mochizuki, getting the win. I thought that this was an absolute blast. I really love this cranky trio, and it started from the beginning. Don Fuji took exception to Party Anthem and was trying to pick a fight with Big Boss Shimizu, and it kind of continued throughout the entire entrance. And at the point of just very cantankerous Don Fuji throughout it, and from there, you have a lot of Don Fuji in the opening phases playing the Don Fuji character, the cranky old man, just not putting up with any of the Natural Vibes shenanigans. And that was a nice little departure from the standard Natural Vibes Trios championship match that this eventually turned into, and that's mainly getting UT gets the heat, he gets beat down, and UT has to figure his way out of it. And you had this happen throughout their reign, and I like the little bent of Fuji and Shimizu really kind of locking up before you get into that. And after that, really, you got to see the real specialness, I feel like, of Big Bashi Mizu. I feel like that he is, if not one of the best heavyweight class Triangle Gate wrestlers in history, he has to be on the Mount Rushmore. At least for me, that the motor in him never has degraded, whereas I feel like we have seen that with like your Takashi Yoshidas. Kai, I can't even name like a big Kai champion team. And I think then you're really kind of comparing him to Magitu Kishiwada. And I think he has longevity of Magitu Kishiwada. I think Big Bashi Mizu is the best big man Triangle Gate champion, because you had this really fun closing stretch. You have him and Masaki Mochizuki. He goes up for the shot put slam first, and Don Fuji turns it into a flying cross arm breaker, and the match breaks down, and before you know it, everything is cleared out again. Mochi is able to, he has a twister attempt, but then a second shot put slam gets the win. It was a lot of fun. I had it at 3.5 stars. It really was that they did enough here in a match whereas Kamei, I bit on the Jackie knife, and there was one sequence where Kamei did two Torbellinos in a row that was like, oh, well, okay. And you didn't necessarily had that moment. Like, I feel like the key to beat this Triangle Gate team is you start beating down on UT and you don't let him figure his way out of it. Here, he figured his way out of it, and you look at the rest of the team, and it just was not a Triangle Gate challenger team that you thought was going to really win, and I think that changes expectations a little bit. So that's 3.5.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And if you think about Gate of Origin, and if you think about it the way that I try to, and we talked about earlier about this being the Tohoku region's big show, and the fact that Yamato is from right nearby, you go throughout the history of Gate of Origin, and it's very clear that there's one person who is at the top of this show more often than not, and it's Yamato. And you weren't going to burn a Dreamgate match, especially with the way the schedule lined up. I mean, you did a Dreamgate match earlier this month already. Probably not another one before Osaka. So how do you make Yamato featured? And how do you get this in a way that will feel like that there's a level of import? One thing that I feel like that I personally, as someone who's covered this promotion as long as I have, had my finger a little off the pulse for, was the Nostalgia Gate show, the Gate of Nostalgia show earlier this year. It felt like a way that they could cover for the fact that they couldn't get a Twin Gate match because of the NOAH team not being available at that time. Instead, you had the right decision for the 25th anniversary year, and they've been really smart about using the 25th anniversary and historical stuff since then. They didn't overrun historical gimmicks through Kobe World. They had the really affecting veterans 10-man tag there, but you weren't really just trying to go and be craven about trying to appeal to the past. So one of, if not the highlight of that Gate of Nostalgia show, was the reuniting of the most popular heel unit in at least Dragon Gate era history, Mad Blanky, reuniting in Sendai. This time it was Yamato, Hulk, KZ, Punch Tomonaga, Momdai Ryu versus the Z-Brats team, Shun, Kai, Jason Lee, Kota Minora, and now named Hamare, the former Hamaru Kato. And you really get to see a fun thing. This match, absolute blast. There's still a lot of tread on the Mad Blanky nostalgia tires, if you ask me, at the very least. So Yamato and in his neighboring region, really like the big show in his area, reuniting his most popular group. You get Hulk in it. And then, I mean, one of the things about Mad Blanky is that times it was incredibly top heavy, but sometimes you get kind of the cheaters. And this was the cheaters version of the Mad Blanky match, especially KZ, Punch Tomonaga, and Mondai Ryu. Of course, KZ in an entirely different world than he was back in the heights of Mad Blanky. He's no one's fall post there, but essentially you had three generations of Mad Blanky fall posts in a match where it becomes, is it going to be the overwhelming fall posts as the way that's going to lose you the match? Or is it going to be Hamare, someone who's been a pro wrestler now for a grand total of 11 days, being the one that knocks you out? Well, one thing can be put aside and one checkbox can be marked in the career of Hamare. And that is, he is going to be a fun heel. And him as a heel rookie is going to be a nice little edge. I mean, Zebrats sometimes having membership issues. If you had a really heavy, strong Zebrats team, yeah, Ishin's not a part of it. Yeah, Johnny Valletta's not a part of it, but you didn't need them at this point. And overwhelmingly, you get to see the fact that you have all of the fall posts, and you have the Biggest Loser in Dragon Gate, Punch Tomonaga, on your team. Eventually, the mount of Punch Tomonaga is going to be an albatross. You're going to lose. And Zebrats won with a double misfire. It was Yamato and BB Hulk. BB Hulk, of course, with the ball of wine. Yamato with just a ball of water. Misting and covering and staining Punch Tomonaga's Oxford shirt. And then the oil can that Tomonaga used as a weapon, getting bent over his head by Kotama Nora. Kotama Nora does a 1-foot pin, and everyone walks out stomping Punch Tomonaga. That felt right. That was what you kind of wanted out of the finish. The way we got to it was a lot of brawling, whole lot of crowd brawling. They saved it all for this match, and you kind of knew that this was going to be this sort of match. Yamato now, he's a champion in freedom, so brawling should be up his alley. But you had a bunch of that through there. And to be honest, for me, I am someone that Punch Tomonaga, I've been through this entire guy's career. And let me tell you this. There's only so much Punch Tomonaga in one match any match should have. This one, getting to that point, had it basically square with the semi-main event, 3.5 stars. But what you kind of want to see in this, and I think Hamare is going to be a great little heel, just punk. He has tights that are Zebrats kind of colors, not really any inclination that it did not solve my suspicions of, hey, you're reusing old fabric. Did feel like leftover fabric used in that gear. I still kind of feel like we might be on a rebrand of the heel unit, especially coming out of the losing member gets expelled match happening next month in Corcoran. But 3.5 stars, you still got more juice on this Mad Blanky rock. You can still squeeze more juice out of it. BB Hulk got unshirted during this match. I know that always it's wild with BB Hulk, especially with just how Hulk was in 2012 in Mad Blanky and where he is in 2024. It felt a little less awkward than the Die Hards reunion for him, seeing him step up in here. Though I do kind of still feel like that when I think of Mad Blanky, yeah, you have Yamato, yeah, you have Hulk, but you also have Naruki Doi, you also have Cyber Kong, you also, if you're able to get them over for the night, you also have Akira Tozawa and Uha Nation. But I think you had a very just sleazeball level Mad Blanky team available, and they worked their way around it as well as you could. And talking about working your way around a match, the Longley desired, the Longley requested, the one match that we knew that Johnny Valletta had on his fight card when he got back to Dragon Gate, Johnny Valletta versus Rita, was perfect. It was for what you want in this match, what you want out of a Takumi Hayakawa versus Johnny Valletta match. I don't know what else you could really want out of it. It was just a fun match. And they made Rita's offense work well there. The moment where he gets his headlock turnover, but it's because Benkei and Mochizuki Jr. grab the ropes and trip him up there, so he's able to do that. Felt all very deserved. Rita, the more we see Takumi Hayakawa, the more we see Rita, the more I am impressed with this guy. We've already talked about MMA Rita, you know, just Kurt Angle style, snapping fools and snapping ankles. Now we have territory jobber era Rita, because he sold every shot like it was 1982. He was facing off against the Von Erichs. He's just local heel number one, and he's just flying around like he's just getting absolutely destroyed. He would have been that 82 jobber heel. Like, that would have been, Gino would have been way too high for that at that point. It may be around a heel term, Chris Adidas. Maybe that for this. We had a card change happen with the lower half of the show. Originally, this match had Ultimo Dragon, Yuzushi Kanda, and Madoka Kakuta. However, there was some movement around Luis Monte, a light neck injury off of the show. Originally, you were going to have a big hug tag in the opener, but Kakuta moved down to the opener to fill in for Luis Monte. And when looking at the cards for this upcoming weekend, they got shows in Tokui, which is the suburb, Tokai, which is the suburb of Nagoya that Dragon Kid's from, as well as their Osaka and Gifu. They're going to be in Tajimi City and Gifu for the Shun Skywalker homecoming show. Luis Monte is off these shows, at least for this 3-day stretch, including an Osaka show. Kind of worth knowing. They say it's a minor neck injury. We'll keep kind of an eye on that. I know that before the show, when the card change happened, Hio mentioned that this was the first time that him and Kakuta teamed since RED. But because of Kakuta moving down to the opener, this match now was Paradox versus unaffiliated tag, Dragon Kid Susumu, Yokosuka and Kagetora versus Ultimo Dragon, Yuzushi Kanda and Daiki Yanagiuchi. It was Kagetora with the Goromakakari on the gooch. And this was mostly a lot of Daiki Yanagiuchi taking advantage of the fact that he kind of gets called up to this match. And really, for this match here, when you look at how this card was constructed, and for newer listeners, we refer to matches where you can kind of look at it, and over the years, you can kind of tell which matches are going to be for the guys who are not necessarily putting it into third gear. Usually, the big hint with those is Ultimo Dragon is usually a part of those matches. But on this card, especially with the way that it was completely laid out, this was the touch football match where, think about playing touch football after Thanksgiving. You're not really going all out. Really, what you want to be is back on your couch watching something. But that's what this kind of match was. But you got a lot of Daiki Yanagiuchi facing off against the Paradox trio. Decent enough match. Not a whole lot of Ultimo and Kanda in this. I was at 2 3/4 on it. My least favorite thing on the show, But you had then Rhea Fuda's return match. Rhea Fuda being a local, they have, and this being the show that Rhea Fuda debuted on in 2021, it not necessarily lining up exactly that, but this is his first match that he has had since since Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival. Actually, he's been out ever since that. And in this homecoming match, he faces off against Ishin. Ishin wins in just over 6 minutes. And we should talk about card position here on a show where you have really three serious things. Mad Blanky's reunion being definitely a capital T thing, and two title matches. This being a singles match on the show before another singles match was not going to really get a level of time. And for Ishin coming in after his Dreamgate match, you didn't think that Fuda coming back was going to get a whole lot of offense here, and that's about what we got. Ishin won with that Gene Chu in 6 minutes. The crowd was really up for Fuda, their hometown boy. Fuda finally has his own theme. I didn't see yesterday when the show happened. I didn't go back through some of the Twitter accounts that I follow that are native in that area to see if they knew who it was. There was an entertainer opening the show. I kind of rewinded back. Did kind of seem like the guy who did Rhea Fuda's new theme music. But you got a bit of Fuda. I think the thing about him, like, we're going to keep on holding out hope for this guy. He is clearly talented. I think he has an ability with the way he does striking in a company where you have Masaki Mochizuki and Mochizuki Jr. He has kind of realized that he can't be a kick boy. He can't be the Keisuke Okuda clone that he really badly wants to be. And hey, Okuda says he has another match coming up, so keep your ears peeled. Open the voice gate, the only place where we will be talking about shoot boxing and the Dragon System. You have to differentiate yourself, though. And I think that Fuda has kind of started to do so, and especially where he does, like, his hammerlock trap knees and my favorite move of his, which is kind of like the run up knee to the face. Those are the kind of things that I think Fuda needs to kind of make his part of his arsenal and incorporate that more into what we see in Dragon System style matches. And Ishin's rocks just as much as he did earlier this month. I think that it's really been fun to see him round into form. And we're now at this point now with Z-Brats where you have a big enough heel unit. Now there's 7 active guys. Ishin gets to go run through someone. Johnny Valletta is just having the match of his life against Rita. And then you have the main complement able to do the bigger upper card tag match. That's what I want to see out of a heel unit. It is very clear that 7 members is probably going to become 6 by the end of October, if not less than that. But for now, I think that this shows why you should have a bit larger of a heel unit versus the rest of your roster. Our opener on the show, Gold Class, Benkei and Mochizuki Jr. versus Hyo and Kakuta. It was really playing off the fact that Hyo and Kakuta are opposite units. Kakuta getting frustrated coming out to Hyo's entrance. Hyo's got to get the Hyo bucks. He's got to go get the fake money, and then they need to go to the next town, sell the Hyo merch, hand out the fake money. He takes the fake money, and the cycle continues. It's an economy that's happening here, Madoka Kakuta. You have to kind of just accept that that's the fact. And this was a fun opener. It was the finish a little bit surprising. Spear on Hyo. Do think that this match, when you look at a card, and especially as an opener, got 8 minutes. Junior got to work with Hyo and Kakuta. I think that Junior is going to have a lot of interesting matches, as long as him and Benkei are teaming, I kind of like seeing these two doing this. You have like this aspect of this tag team where it very easily can be Junior is playing Ricky. He tags into Robert, Ben. He tags into Ben, and then Ben tears through this. And that was the kind of match you got. I was just over 3 stars for that. And we opened Gate of Origin with Yamato coming out as he's getting his makeup on, becoming bad makeup, being bad Yamato, excuse me. And Paradox joining him for that. And it was a solid Gate of Origin show, I would say. Not necessarily on the path of reaching that 2018 Gate of Origin show, but looking through previous years, it's hard to find a show that, by and large, and they're going to use that Rhea Fuda get out of jail free card on every single one of these Gate of Origin shows, but you had 4 matches that were of import on this, and for a B-level Dragon Gate show, I mean, that's exactly what I want to see. I mean, there are years where I wish that there would be important non-title matches on Big Five shows. But here we got to have 2 interesting singles matches and the return of the most popular heel unit in the last 20 years of the promotion. Let's look at Osaka before we get out of here. So Osaka, this ends up being, if my schedule is right, the last time Dragon Gate will be in this building for 2024. It so happens that the way that Dragon Gate kind of operates Osaka, and I find it kind of interesting that it goes this way, they don't do any shows, at least at the Edeon Arena complex, after Gate of Destiny. So they will have this show in September. They are not on the schedule, it looks like, for October. And then Gate of Destiny will do it for them in Osaka in this complex. Just something that I always kind of find a little bit interesting, the fact that they did this there. The rest of 2024 schedule is out, and this is their last appearance in Edeon Arena 2, at least this year. So, interesting little fact here. Also, on this show, a return of La Estrella. I figured La Estrella was probably already going to be heading back to Mexico, Florida, all of that, after he made an appearance at Gata Miane and the next day at Doi's homecoming show. He is booked for this weekend as well. He will be in the Michinoku Pro Fukumen tournament coming up in November. Oh, no, it's in October. I always look at the scheduling, and at least in the States, we do month before date, and that threw me off there for a second. But La Estrella is going to make the Fukumen World League as well. We have Strong Machine J from Dragon Gate as well. Mr. USA is making an appearance, which, hey, that's a thing right there. El Hijo de Albrije. I mean, maybe could we, is there a world where Mihe makes an appearance over here? I don't think so. And then we get into the ones where I don't know that these wrestlers existed up until then, including Naginata from the Dominican Republic, Saigon Guerrero, La Corazon Tango from Argentina. Saigon Guerrero is from Vietnam. Glass Ami from Taiwan, and Fighting Ganesha from India. So we have a lot of interesting new people coming in for Fukumen this year, La Estrella being one of them. But he is in the opener this week and teaming with D-Courage, Madoka Kakuta, and Dragon Daya. No Ryoya Tanaka on this show, a little bit of a bummer, at least for me. I haven't heard if he was hurt or anything like that. But those three will be going up against the Z-Brats pairing of Kai, Ishin, and Hamare. Probably will get more of a realistic look of Hamare as a heel rookie in this match, especially much more in comparison to the match against Mad Blanky at Gate of Origin. Match two, Don Fuji and Rhea Fuda versus Toru Iwashi and Takashi Oshida. Fuda making cards is good. Net positive Iwashi and Yoshida. That's really going to stretch the net positive portion of that. Match 8, Ultimo Dragon, along with Paradox members Dragon Kid, Susumu Yokosuka, and Kagetora, go up against Natural Vibe, Strong Machine J, KZ, Big Boss Shimizu, and UT. Match 4, Yamato and Naruki Doi, Yamadoi, are going up against Hyo and Jackie Kamei. Don't think that this is a match where Hyo and Kamei will get the wins to set up a Twin Gate match. I mean, Kamei just did that to set up a Brave Gate. I don't think we're going to see that again. Semi-main event. It's a Dark Masquerade reunion. Shun Skywalker, Kota Minoura, and Jason Lee of Z-Brats versus BB Hulk, Rita, and Mochizuki Jr. And the main event, we will see how this goes. Benkei versus Johnny Valletta. We have seen that Johnny Valletta works best the closest he is to Bruiser Brody in this company. And a lot of that is him throwing around little people. Smaller wrestlers and also menacing people in the audience. The one thing that hasn't worked out great for him has been when he's facing people who are more like his size. So we have to see if Benkei is able to maybe pull something more out of Johnny Valletta. But that is the Osaka number 2 show, the final Osaka number 2 show of 2024 for Dragon Gate. There's some fun stuff here on this show, but I think you kind of see a little bit of, okay, we have Himare in the opener where you kind of want him to see, but I don't know if I would rather have La Estrella in that versus a full D Courage versus Z Brats match. And I feel like there's a couple of kind of spots on the show that I'm like, maybe Ultimo Dragon and Paradox. Maybe if you did like Don Fuji and Paradox versus Natural Vibes, that'll be a little bit stronger of a match. But it looks fun. And we will be back next week to talk all about that. And we'll be joined again by Case coming back from assignment. We have a couple more things planned for this month. I don't know if it's next week, but this is supposed to be a 2 rewind and a rewatch month, and the next one is going to be a real fun one. But that's going to do it here on Open the Voice Gate. Thanks for everyone for sticking with me riding solo this week. We'll be back to a full show next week. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. Case is at _inyourcase. I'm at Fujiheya. If you will also want to hang out and talk with us, we are in the Voices of Wrestling Discord. You can look for both the Dragon Gate channel or the Open the Voice Gate channel as well. We can talk about that there. But that's going to do it for us here. Have a good rest of your week, everyone. Take care. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.